I would like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. And let us see what God will use from His Word to speak to us and encourage us. We all need it. In Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin in just a moment with verse 25. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. The Lord is teaching His disciples. And the Word of God says in verse 25, "Therefore," remember that word, "therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this last expression found in the 6th chapter, 34th verse. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There ought to be certain things that mark every day of our lives if we're Christians. One is a life of gratitude to God, recognizing that God is, and there ought to be an awareness in our lives that God is caring for us, that He's blessing us, that He's on the throne, that all is well in heaven. That'll be every day of our lives. We think of it that way, an awareness of the goodness of God. There'll not be one day without God's Word, reading it, memorizing it, meditating upon it. God is speaking to us through His Word. There ought not be one day without prayer. Prayer, a conversation by faith with God, talking to God, telling God, crying out in a moment for direction, or seasons of prayer. But every day ought to be marked by prayer. There's no doubt about this. And the Lord is talking to His disciples about living and how they're to live, how His true followers are to live. I had you make note in verse 25 of the word "therefore." Now, I want us to back up behind it up to verse 19 and read it and come down to "therefore." And then we'll go again to the end, because the conclusion of this "therefore" is found in verse 34. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is in the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else He will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon being exactly the opposite of God. Therefore, with this in mind, about how you live, how you look, what you see, your faith life, your view of God, moving forward with the light God has given you, and God gives us light. The way we learn about God is move from what we know to what we don't know. Keep believing God. There are certain things I know to be true. When my faith is a bit shaken, or I'm inquiring about something and having trouble with it, I go back to what I know for sure about the Word of God and about the Lord, knowing that God is ever the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Knowing that we can rely upon the Lord. Knowing that God is good, that God cannot lie, that God never changes, that whatever He does is right and righteous. Because I don't want to give the devil any crack in my life where I have something going through my thought life where he can come in and cause me to disregard what God has and what God wants in my life. And I commend this to you. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You see, worrying and fretting about things is not going to help us. The thing it can do is rob us of the strength God wants to give us the day we're living. But worrying and fretting about troubles, perplexed about them with no answers and thinking the whole weight of the world is on you, when Jesus said, cast your cares upon me. He cares for us. You see, the Christian life is not something we put on and take off. It's a way of life. The Lord goes on to say here that there are aliens to God who desire certain things. And what they desire has nothing to do with God and nothing to do with the things of God. But the believer lives a different way. He walks with God. He speaks with God. His life is centered in the Lord. Christ in him, the hope of glory. And we give God the glory for this life we have in Christ. I want to continue here. He gives lessons from nature, which are easily seen by everyone. And he says, not only is the life more than meat, and the body than raiment, behold, the fowls are there. Look at the birds. For they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? That's a question the Lord asks. And when we think of it, we say yes. Yes. If God cares for the birds, surely He cares for you and me. If God takes care of their every need, and surely He does, surely He takes care of us. Then He said, look at the flowers, consider the lilies growing wildly in the field. The Word of God says, why take you thought for the raiment? Because consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. You see their beauty. You see that God cares for them. He sends the rain. He provides the nourishment. He wants us to see if He cares for the creation of flowers, surely He cares for the crown of His creation, mankind. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, by the way, the most wealthy man to ever live on the earth, the wisest man we know anything about, the most served man, the man with abounding things in every direction, he said, even Solomon, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Keep it simple. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do you identify with that expression? I do. Trust Him. Believe Him. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Every time I read that verse, I think of my mother dying. I'm sitting on the bed with her. She's so weak, I had to hold her up with my arm. And I said, Mother, God's been good to us. And she said, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Why she said it three times, I do not know. And then she said, we never went one day hungry. My mother as a child had rickets because of a certain malnutrition. And she said, my children never went one day in hunger. God is saying, trust me, believe me. In all things, believe me. Turn away from your doubts and turn to the Lord. Give up your fretting, turn it into faith. God still lives and is on the throne. He's in charge. We're never alone. We're never alone. None of his children live alone and none of his children die alone. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I heard someone sing last evening. I was in a meeting preaching and I heard someone sing about when we come to Chili Jordan. That's not from the Bible. There's no Chili Jordan in the Bible. And the song says that Jesus would meet us on the other side of Jordan. That's not in the Bible. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We're not going through some chilly Jordan. God is going with us every moment, all the way. And he'll be with us when we reach the other side, just like he was with us when we started from the side we're living in now. God is there. He is with us, ever present, never to leave us and never to forsake us. And so he commends us again. And the Lord is speaking. He says in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, the aliens, the people who don't know God. For your heavenly Father knoweth. He knoweth that you have need of all these things. You ever just meditate on that? What God knows? And then what God knows about you and your need? The Lord repeats this phrase, your heavenly Father, your heavenly Father, your heavenly Father knoweth. Some people think the Christian life is trying to do a little better. Maybe having a little more. The Christian life isn't doing better than the world or having a little more than the world. That's not a goal we have. The Christian life is completely different. It is to be a life of trusting Christ and believing that our Heavenly Father knows he will never leave us and never forsake us. When I hear sad things like a young man alone somewhere, which I frankly, seriously doubt, and suffering something tragic, when I hear about it, perhaps being overcome, whatever there was to overcome him, in his own life or the lives of others, I think of this. He was never alone. Never alone. I'm trying to help some people here. I conducted a funeral years ago of a dear boy who burned to death in his home. His mother was so grieved she couldn't control herself. Even in the funeral service, she was almost beyond any consoling. And she said, Pastor, but he was at home alone. Pastor, but he was at home alone. Pastor, they found his body burned to death alone. She kept saying that. I said, no, ma'am. Your boy was a Christian. Is that true? She said, well, I have every reason to believe. He lived the Christian life. He knew Christ. I have every reason to believe that. I said, well, then think. Think, dear lady. He was never alone. Never. And all of us know who've gone through anything that's beyond our ability, and most things are, when we've gone through something that's beyond us and beyond our strength, in that moment is the moment when God seemed nearest to us. I've said to my wife more than once, and some of these things I've gone through with physical ailments, I said, when they injected me to put me to sleep, it was Jesus Christ holding my hand, standing beside me, speaking to me, peace, be still. I'm with you. And I just went to sleep in his arms. I believe that's what God intends for us, not just a surgery. God believes, we ought to believe that's what God intends for us in all of life. And so let's not be like the unbelievers, as Jesus is talking of here. Let's trust our Heavenly Father. He knows what we have need of. And then he says, frankly, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that has a certain outcome. Look at it. When you put God in his rightful place, when you seek the kingdom of God, when you live the Christian life as unto the Lord, when you seek the Lord this way, then the certain outcome is, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. In other words, stop worrying about the future. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Stop fretting over things. Stop questioning things. God designed this world in 24-hour day periods. And he said that he would give us what we need each day. He said to Moses, write the verse down. You don't have to turn there. But write the verse down. He said to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So what day you want to take out? This is the day I'm going to live without God's strength? No, he said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I'm confident of this one thing. If God gives me something to do, he will give me the grace and the strength to do it. When you think it can't be done, God proves himself that you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Did you know the greatest day of our lives? It's not the day of your salvation. Think of that. We all say that, don't we? The greatest day of our lives will be the outcome of that salvation on the last day we live. That's the day we see Jesus Christ face to face. That's the greatest day of our lives. The greatest day of your life, the greatest day of anyone's life. You say, well, it may have been trauma, it may have been whatever circumstances, it might have been something horrible, but it's the greatest day of our lives when we close our eyes on this world and we see Jesus Christ face to face as his children. Now, I believe that. Do you believe that? So the Lord says, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow should take thought for the things of itself. In other words, when you get to tomorrow, it'll be a today. There's nothing you can do to change tomorrow in that sense. We can prepare and give forethought to things. We can avoid things that are dangerous. We can plan in a way that honors God. But there's certain troubles and sorrows that are going to come to us. Take no thought for the morrow. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. In other words, there's enough to deal with every day. And God is greater than whatever you have to deal with on that day. That's just the way God has made the Christian life. He's greater than the day. He created the day. He's with us that day. I'm going to show you something else before we close. I want you to turn to the revelation of Jesus Christ. The last book in the Bible, the 21st chapter. And God says, when that day comes, verse 4 of chapter 21, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. And death for the child of God is just a passage. Jesus suffered our death for us. He conquered death by dying himself and proved he had the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So there's no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Think of that. For the former things are passed away. Beloved, no one ever went to heaven and wanted to come back? No one. Some of our loved ones went to heaven, and occasionally we may in some weak moment want them to come back. They're coming back with Jesus when he comes again. But no one ever went to heaven and got there and was disappointed and wanted to come back. No one. No one. And the way the Christian life has been designed by God himself is that every day, without worrying about tomorrow, we're to live by faith, and whatever we face that day, God give us grace for. Whatever that day, God give us grace for. That's one reason when we lie down at night and close our eyes and prepare to go to sleep, we need to thank God that he was with us all during the day. I'm not going to get very private with you, but my wife and I have a little routine in the morning and a little routine at night. We go to bed together, and most every time we get up together. Same time. Sort of like clockwork. And we lie there at night and do the same thing we do in the morning. We talk. There are certain things we don't talk about. If she wanted to talk about some deep financial thing, I'd say, no. Remember, we made a rule years ago. We don't get in those kind of conversations. If we want to talk about some tragic thing, I said, no, that's not the time for it. This is not the time for it. We came to rest our bodies, and she says the same thing to me. And we'll lay there and talk, and then I'll turn over on my side and say, I love you. I'm going to sleep. And about 10 seconds later, 15 seconds later, I've gone to Sleepy's house. When we wake up in the morning, we don't just spring out of bed. We wake up early enough so we can talk about the day and the Lord. The day is a gift from God. All of it, a gift from God. And so what we do, we want to present our lives again, because that day, only God knows what a day brings forth. But we know God will be with us. And if we trust him, we don't have to worry and fret through the day. He'll go before us. He'll guide and protect us. He'll provide for us what we need. He'll give us the wisdom to make right decisions. He'll protect us. There are some things that come through God's hand permissively to us, but it never comes through without God coming through with it. And if we have to deal with the devil, remember, the devil is the Lord's devil. That doesn't mean God says to the devil, sick him. He doesn't do that. But the devil's on a string. He can only go so far. He's limited. God is unlimited. And so let's believe the Lord and trust the Lord. And the kingdom of God is not observation, Jesus said. It's not building something big. It's not elaborate things. It's knowing God and living in God's presence in your own heart. Knowing the reality of God in your own life. And your vision is a vision of God that has the right outlook. It's not selfish and self-serving. It's to be God glorifying and God honoring. And if we get off that beam, we need to get right back on it. And God's made a way that we can access him and have access to him in a moment. The whole world can keep rolling, and you and I can stand still and have access to God that moment. You know that. To cry out to him and call out to him and know that our prayers are heard. Because Jesus has made access to the throne of God, and he's interceding for us, and we can do that. I'm trying to encourage you. You don't get out somewhere by yourself and get lost from God. You don't get out somewhere driving around and get separated from God. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Live it one day at a time, and sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. There'll be enough to deal with this day, and God's grace will be greater than whatever it is. May God help us to truly learn to live the Christian life. Let's pray together, may we?